Our reading from the Christian scriptures this morning comes to us from Mark's Gospel. It's the 10th chapter, beginning with the 46th verse. Let us continue to listen for God's word to us. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling to you." So, throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. First, the obvious. No, I did not get my hair changed and make other adjustments. I am not Pastor Tom R. I am Nancy Benson Nicole, stepping in and thankful for your prayers as Tom continues to recover from an illness. He'll be back soon, but you'll have to put up with me for the time being. Second, I ask your permission for us to engage in something a bit different as a part of our reflection on God's word this morning. For those of you who participated in yesterday's Resilience, Resistance, and Reconciliation gathering, you will have gotten a head start on this exercise. I promise you won't have to get up, you won't have to confess anything or stand up or give testimony, so it's just a simple ask. Shall we engage together? Thank you. Bartimaeus invites us to consider how the deepest desires of our heart reside within us. Indeed, it's a key component of how we find resilience, especially when we ourselves are tested or are standing in community with others who are tested, to be reminded of who we are, the core of who we are. And it is true that what we value, the deepest desires that we hold, gives us a window into the essence of who we truly are. So this is an opportunity that we have to connect with that and be mindful of it. And so, inspired by the work of Teresa Blythe, who wrote the book 50 Ways to Pray, she identified practices common in particular to both Celtic and Native American tribes of praying one's desire. And so we're going to do a little bit of that this morning. I invite Janelle to accompany our practice with some gentle music to help us root and ground ourselves in this discipline. All of you both who are seated in the sanctuary and those who are worshiping with us online. I invite you just to find a posture of comfort. Maybe you're already in it. No need to be rigid, no need to sit particularly upright, but just something that's comfortable, something that will allow your feet to make contact with the ground. You may wish to close your eyes if that feels comfortable. If not, feel free to allow them to be open. If you find that you have a proclivity to fidget, go ahead and do that. You may find it helpful if you wear a ring or have something in hand to just keep that in hand. Just allow yourself to be however it is that you find yourself this morning. I invite you just to simply notice that you're breathing in and out. I invite you to notice that your heart is beating, and you didn't have to do anything to make that happen. As we prepare ourselves to pray our desires before God, we begin sitting in our quiet center to just say to ourselves a prayer of gratitude. It may just be thanks, God. Gratitude for all that has been, all that is, and all that will be in your life. Allow that sense of gratitude to wrap itself around you like a nice warm blanket. Feel yourself wrapped in its embrace. Present in whatever way is most comfortable to you. If you find yourself nodding off, that's okay too. You may need that rest. Wrapped in gratitude, let's shift our awareness to whatever is the deepest desire that jumps out when you think of the word desire. What is it that is present to you? Take a moment or two to allow it to be seen by you, to know what it is. Resist the urge to judge it or to analyze it, to decide whether or not it's worthy. Just let it be present in your mind, in your heart. Now that you've had a few moments to do that, either stay in that moment to continue to see its face. But if you're able to see it and name it, then continue to visualize it. Visualize what you desire. Feel it. Touch it. Taste it. Smell it. Let it become real to you in your imagination. Let the scene unfold within you. See how actually picturing it make it change or develop. Maybe there are new details that you see. We'll be present to that for just a moment. ¶¶ let us lean into the practice of letting go. Let go of specific outcomes. Let go of the tendency to try to create an outline or a blueprint of what this desire should accomplish. Just let go. As you pray, ask that God's desire be fulfilled in your desire, or that God would transform your desire as needed. Pay attention to what, if anything, changes as you ask God what it is that God desires. As you pay attention to that deep desire that is within your heart. Next comes the action. Ask. Ask God how you might assist in fulfilling this desire. Ask God how you can be a partner in co-creating this desire to be made real in your life. Once you've asked, stay silent to allow space for God to speak in and through your imagination. Let us lean into the close of our practice by thanking God for this desire that you've been given and for this opportunity to pray in and through it. Give thanks to God in your heart of hearts for being present to you and to all of us in this prayer. Take a nice deep breath in and out, and slowly draw your awareness back to the space. Maybe shake out your hands a little bit or wiggle your shoulders. Maybe iron out a few kinks in the neck there. And I invite you at some point during the day to spend a few moments to reflect on what it was like to engage in this space. What surprised you? What moved you? What may have inspired you? Or what was the biggest challenge? What made you cringe a little bit, or where did you find some element of resistance? Just allow yourself to observe, to become curious, and to allow it to be a point of entry into an ever-deepening relationship with God in the depths of your heart of hearts, where God delights in meeting you just as you are, and to transform your heart so that you will never be the same, but that you will be made whole and rest in that wholeness. In this regard, we are similar to our dear Bartimaeus. Prior to encountering Bartimaeus in the outskirts of Jericho, Jesus was approached by the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and they had their own demands of Jesus as his disciples. They asked him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. What is it you want me to do for you?" invites Jesus, to which they respond, "Appoint us to sit, one at your right and one at your left in your glory." audacious ask. "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus responds. And before that, a random man, some rando, comes up to Jesus, and he must have looked normal and well-dressed since none of his disciples blocked this man from making his approach. And the man knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Another audacious ask. And after confirming his fulfillment of Jesus' checklist of commandments, this unnamed man was challenged by Jesus to master one thing more. Jesus said, "Sell all of your possessions and give your money to the poor so that you will have treasure in heaven." Now, the text notes his shock and grief at this request. We see the distance between what he actually desired and what he wanted to want. So often we find ourselves in the midst of that deep desire, so often because we are focused in having the audacity to ask for more power, or more mastery, or more domination. What is it that we want? "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asks Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, the bar from the Hebrew that means son of, lets us know that he was Timaeus's boy, the one that the many likely passed by every day on their way to run errands or to hurry off to work. Bartimaeus, sitting by the side of the road, his voice creaky with congestion from the steady clouds of dirt stirred by the pedestrians' busy feet that he's forced to breathe in and day out for however long. Bartimaeus, he's both a fixture and an afterthought. Perhaps it's a good thing that he can't see, that he can't see the annoyance on the faces of those that are so sick of hearing him begging for scraps and coins or any little thing to tide him over. Bartimaeus the vulnerable, with no armor and therefore nothing to lose. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he shouts above the voices of the many who seek to shut him up or to outshout him. Mark doesn't remember their names. "What do you want me to do for you?" asks the son of David, who it turns out does have mercy on him. Bartimaeus doesn't hesitate for one moment in declaring his heart's deepest desire, "My teacher, let me see again." We learn something precious about him through his expressed desire, that there was a time that he could see. To witness the sun rise above the olive groves or the angle of the hammer to the chisel would certainly be blessings restored, but so much more was at stake for those without sight in Jesus' time. Scholars note that in the Greco-Roman practice of ophthalmology, the eyes were considered to function by allowing the body's own light to go out. The eye was the conduit or source of light that made sight possible. And so given this physiology, the crucial issue is whether the eyes themselves are evil or healthy. That is, whether one's life is full of darkness or light. Bartimaeus, therefore, was an outcast, and even worse, he would have been demonized by the many as having somehow brought this condition on himself. Timaeus' boy's deepest desire before God is to no longer be a bitterly ironic joke, to embody the promise of his family name, Timaeus. Timaeus, you see, comes from the Greek name Timaios, meaning honor or highly prized. The son of honor didn't need sight to behold and believe in the power of Jesus. All he needed was an open and unguarded heart before God. His greatest weakness was his greatest strength. His deepest desire was a precious gem. It was his open-heartedness before the Holy One that allowed for the inbreaking of the kingdom of God to break in with such power as to restore his sight and to welcome him into blessed community. Highly prized, Bartimaeus was. And highly prized by Jesus, Bartimaeus went on to follow Jesus. What do you want Jesus to do for you in your heart of hearts? What is it in the world that you wish to see? How do you wish for the world to be? Who is the you that you wish to be? God asks. God resides within us, continuing to lean us into this question. May we receive the grace to meet God in the midst of our deepest desires, to know who we truly are in our heart of hearts. Let us pray. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Amen.